Okay, good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to see everybody here. Welcome to those on Zoom as well. I would encourage that anyone on Zoom who would like to come and see us live is welcome to come. There are still some spare seats. We certainly like to see everybody live or on Zoom. Either way is good, but live is always better. The shiurim today are sponsored through the whole 2022 academic year. Le'ilu nishmois brana baspendit and zelig ben kalman. It should be an aliyah for the neshamas. And if I can remind you, please, to turn off your phones. That would be great, too, so that we don't have musical interludes. Now, today and next week, I want to focus on issues that pertain to churban, to the 3 weeks and the 9 days. We're almost on Rosh Chodesh Av. But I want to focus on some things which are less spoken about. And today I want to look at two related but different concepts which are often confused. And one is Zeichel HaMikdash and one is Zeichel HaChurban. And they are two different things, and I want to look at them both. And next week, I want to focus more on the Zeichel HaChurban aspect of music. Music is a very complicated issue, largely because we relate to music entirely differently now than people did, you know, 100 years ago, even certainly 1,000 years ago. So we will talk about music next week, maybe a little bit this week just to introduce ourselves, but this week I want to focus on other things. It's going to be action-packed. We're going to have a lot to talk about, and hopefully there'll be some new things that we haven't necessarily seen before. Okay, let's start from the very beginning. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived at the time of the Churban, he was responsible for the transition period from a society which focused on a temple as a physical building to a society which focused mentally on the Beis HaMikdash and was davening to get it back, but didn't have a physical Beis HaMikdash there. And he introduced this concept of Zecher LeMikdash. Let's have a look at number one and see what this is. This has got nothing to do with Churban, nothing to do with mourning. It's just to keep our minds focused on the Mikdash. Let's have a look. Says the Mishnah in Sukkah, Bereshayna hayalulav nitl b'mikdash shiva b'minyan yom echad. Originally, the law was, the halacha was, that in the Beis HaMikdash they took the lulav for 7 days, midoraisa, because it says there, lifnei Hashem. But in the gvulin outside, in the diaspora, they only took the lulav for 1 day. 1 day. Okay, now, Mishichar of Beis HaMikdash, once the Mikdash was destroyed, says the Mishnah, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shia Lulav Nitl Babedina Shiva. He made a decree that even in London, even in New York, they would take the Lulav for 7 days. Zeichel HaMikdash, to remember what they used to do in the Mikdash. Vashayehe Yom Hanev Kula Osar. And this is a separate halacha, which is the day of waving, would be entirely prohibited. What's the day of waving? Just very briefly, the 16th of Nisan, which was the day they brought the Korban HaOmer, was the day that they were allowed to eat from the Chadash, from the new crop. Now, when they had a Beis HaMikdash, the time that triggered permission to eat from the new crop, which could be, you know, any kind of baked goods that they wanted to make from the new crop of wheat, the time that triggered that was the bringing of the Korban in the morning. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so technically, you could eat from the new crop from the very beginning of the morning of the 16th, because you're not waiting for anything happening in the Mikdash. There is no Mikdash, so you can eat from the beginning. The problem was, Rabbi Yochanan was worried, if this year we eat from the beginning of the 16th, then next year, when the Beis HaMikdash has been rebuilt, we'll forget that we have to wait for the Korban, and that of course is an Issa D'oraita, it's a Torah prohibition, and therefore we have to assume, and we'll see this in a minute, that the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt at any time, certainly between this year and next year, and therefore the whole of the 16th is going to be prohibited in case we make a mistake next year when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The Lulav we're much more familiar with, that we take Lulav for 7 days. There is a custom based on the Rambam. The Rambam understands that Lifnei Hashem, that the din of Mikdash, is all of Yerushalayim, all of the old city, or what was the old city of Yerushalayim at the time of the Second Temple. So there are some people, I've done this from time to time, that are particular to go with the Lulav and Eshrog, the Arba Minim, into the old city during Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where, according to the Rambam, you can still do the mitzvah d'oraita of Arba Minim, because that's called Mikdash, even though we are really passing that way, but it's, why not? If you could do it, maybe you could do that. Whereas outside the old city, everyone agrees it's the Rabbanon.
Most of the old city today has nothing to do with what was in the
Well, most of the Old City today was included in the Old City Second Temple times, but there was even more Second Temple times. You could go into Har Tzion, for example, which has the dinner, the Second Temple time city. So maybe you could do anywhere in our Old City today was included in that. That's according to the Rambam. Fine. Where did Rabbi Yochanan get this idea from? Number two, says the Gemara, Minalan da'avdina zechel mikdash. How do we know that there is a concept? Where did he learn this idea that you have to remember the mikdash? This is Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that God says, I will bring you healing, I will heal your wounds. They're calling you outcast. This is in the exile. The non-Jews are calling you an outcast. Sion he, because look at Sion, Doresh Ein La. There's nobody searching, there's nobody yearning, there's nobody thinking about Sion. Says the Gemara, Michlal, implied from that is, Deboi Drisha, that you do need to do that. The fact that in Yirmiyahu was bemoaning the fact that nobody is looking for the Mikdash shows you that we have to do that. And actually Yirmiyahu himself is channeling an earlier posuk in Dvarim, looking in number 3, Ki im al amokam asher yivcha Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem lasum et shmosham. God will pick a place from all your tribes and will put his name there. He doesn't tell us where that will be. It's not clear from the Chumash where that will be. We know that became Yerushalayim because the Pasuk says, L'shichno tidrashu. There's that word drash. You've got to go look for it. You've got to go search for it. You've got to go yearn for it. Look for the Shechina, Ubatasham, and then you know where to go, and then come there. But there's a mitzvah of drisha, of looking for the Mikdash. Drishat Zion, of course, was the book that Rav... why is my mind going blank? It'll come back to me, wrote early on in the 1860s in order to introduce, if you like, the ideas of religious Zionism. This idea of Drisha for the Mikdash is there built into the Psukim in Dvarim and the Psukim in Yirmiyahu as well. Fine. Rav Kook, while we're in the religious Zionist mind frame, Rav Kook says in number 4 as follows. Where is this idea from, this understanding of Drisha Tzion? The holy eyes of the rabbis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the time, asher hayu be'ed galut Yisrael, that lived at that time of exile, me'al admatenu, from admatah, the Israel from its land, mireshit, from the very beginning, tzapu mida'agabadava, they were worried. They looked ahead, what was that? Rav Yossi Kalisha, of course. Thank you for the reminding me. I was thinking of Rav Moel Leva, and Rav Moel Leva was blocking my mind. It was Rav Kalisha. Thank you. The joys of Google. Excellent. The rabbis were focused and worried about this from the very beginning. Pen Yomar Am Hashem, maybe the people of God would say, Ke'achresh achrei lo eit l'kayem lanu ha'et azot, et achukim hatlud b'migdashu ba'aretz. We can't keep these mitzvahs anymore. The mitzvahs of Korbanos, the mitzvahs of the temple. What do we gain from learning them? It's like gone. It's finished. It's old stuff. It's irrelevant. As Rav Kook says, they were worried that people would therefore abandon all focus on the Mikdash. And that actually would itself prevent our salvation. Our focus on the Mikdash is helping bring the Yeshua. Because the focus on it is going to bring us to eventually get it back. That's why they fixed the Zechel Mikdash, to remember. Kavanat Amzal, and what was their feeling, says Rav Kook. They wanted to leave us with a little taste, even in Golas, of the laws of the Mikdash. That's why we're shaking Alola for 7 days. Because despite not being able to keep them, we wouldn't at least stop focusing on them. We can take a mil musa from there, says Rav Kook. Ki eila zichronet ha'achadim lemikdash. These things that are designed for us to remember the Mikdash, loy lelamed al atzmam yatsu. It's not just for themselves. Oh, now I know how to bring a korban mincha. Ki im lelamed al haklal kulo yatsu. It's a play on words for one of the Yud Gimel midos. They're coming to teach us about the whole Torah. If I focus on these things, I will get a better perspective on everything. Lezarez ruach nivoneinu, so that those who understand will be encouraged, will be excited. V'shoik de dalsis toraseinu, and those who are urging at the doors You know, pushing at the doors of Torah in a positive way. L'shuv mishmeres hakodesh, that we will eventually get this back. But Talmud kolin yani hamikdash v'hakodesh, by learning all of these ideas, we'll get them back. And you probably know that there was a big move. The Chofetz Chaim was very in favor of this in the 19th century to restore the limud of korbonos. That's why there are people who are learning zvachim, mainstream learning zvachim and menachas, etc. The Talmud Bavli itself, interestingly, included Gemara on the korbonos. Even though it didn't do on Zeraim, on the agricultural laws, there's no Gemara Bavli on Shvi'is, because it was not relevant in Bavel. There's no Gemara Bavli on Kalim, because it was not, there's no Gemara in Sham either on Kalim, but there's no Gemara on Tara's. Why? It's not relevant. There's no Tumah and Tara in Bavel. So why did they include Gemara on Zvachim, Menachas, Bechoras, Tumura? Why did they include all of that? Because there's an idea that learning about these things is itself a, potentially a kiyum. If you learn how to bring a korban, it's as if you brought the korban. There's no idea as if you learn how to keep Shemitah, it's as if you kept Shemitah. There's no such thing as that. You have to keep Shemitah.
Learn about Shabbos, right?
Right, right. Exactly. You can learn about Shabbos, you kept Shabbos. There's no idea like that. So they didn't include Zerayim, but they didn't include korbanos. And says Rav Kook, the learning will hasten us to get them back. That's given us an enormous boost. The niftach petach tikva. I never get to speak about Petach Tikva in my shirim. Here it's, of course, the pasuk. He's opened up the hope. Lishuas Hashem lanu. God's going to save us. Min hacharakim. God is peeping through the cracks. God is there looking, waiting. Umetzapel eis nifna elenu elav v'nushir. Okay? But it's a beautiful idea that learning the korbanos is part of that. And therefore, I've given you a list of 20 mitzvahs or minhagim that I discovered, maybe you can think of more, that are Zeichel HaMikdash. Not Churban related, but to remember the Mikdash. I listed some of them here. Taking the Arba Minim all 7 days. We talked about that. Maybe the whole mitzvah of a Rava, or the Minag of a Rava on Hoshana Rava. Why do I say maybe? Because maybe that's even older than Zeichel HaMikdash. Maybe that's already a Minhag from the first Temple times. We'll see. Lighting Hanukkah candles. During Hanukkah in our house, Zeichel HaMikdash, because that's how they lit in the Mikdash. Reading Shkalim before Purim, in order to remember the collections, etc. in the Mikdash. Eating Maror is explicitly Zeichel HaMikdash, because nowadays Maror is a mitzvah drabbanon, because it goes as a package deal with Korban Pesach. Unlike Matzah, which has an independent mitzvah. So why do we eat Maror? Zeichel HaMikdash, to remember what we used to. Eating the Hillel sandwich, we even say, of course, Zeichel HaMikdash keHillel. We even say that. I don't know why we don't say it for the Maror, interestingly, but we say it for the Hillel sandwich. Eating the Afikoman at the end, which may be the mitzvah of Matzah, but it's certainly a Zeichel to the Korban Pesach.
We say nothing there.
We say nothing there as well. Interesting. Nothing to stop you saying, I'm doing this, eating Zeichel HaMikdash. Having the two cooked foods at the Seder dish, on the Seder plate. You see, there's a lot on Pesach, on Seder night, there's a lot of Zeichel HaMikdash. Counting Sfiras HaOmer. According to most Rishonim, Sfiras HaOmer now is not a Doraisa, because there's no Korban. Okay, the Rambam sees the two as independent, that there's a mitzvah of Korban and there's a mitzvah to count. But most Rishonim don't. Therefore, we paskin that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah to Rabbanan. Unlike the Hina Neimuchon Mazuman Lakayim Mitzvah Saseh, which everybody likes to sing. I don't know why everyone goes for that. Hinanei Muchon HaMazuman, maybe because the mitzvah is, you know, gone with the blink of an eye. But we don't actually paskin like that. Hinanei Muchon HaMazuman. You know, because it's, but it's okay, you can still sing it, okay? But now we paskin that it's Zeichel HaMikdash. There is another related concept, which we may or may not have come across, called Mehera Yibane HaMikdash. Which is the same idea. We're concerned, not concerned in a negative way, but we are conscious of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt very quickly, and therefore we need to include halachas in our regular everyday life that take that into account. For example, Oh well, yeah, we'll okay. Quickly, we'll see why I say suddenly, because we think to ourselves, well, it'll take. We'll have a long lead-in time when they're building the Beis HaMikdash. No, you know, look how long. How long does it take to build stuff? Well, you know, I live in Alon Shvud. They've been doing repairs on the summit, the Gush Etzion. They seem to put one brick a year in there. but okay, let's assume that when we build the Beis HaMikdash, we'll bring in 10,000 Chinese workers, whatever. They'll have the whole thing up in no time. Why do I say suddenly we'll see? Why do we not bring why do we not have the mitzvah of Maaser Behema today? Maaser Behema, the tenth of every animal. Why not? Why isn't that a korban? So the answer is because we don't allow that mitzvah to happen. Because in order to trigger that mitzvah, you have to leave your sheep or calves or whatever through one by one. You know how the thing goes, and every tenth one, you give a little red bit of red paint on the back, and that's the korban. If we did that today, then we would have korbanos in our midst. That would trigger the mitzvah. So we don't want that because we don't want korbanos. They're a headache, and there's nothing we can do with them. We can't take them to the mikdash. You can't work them. You can't eat them. You can't do anything with them. So the Gemara asks, okay, so why don't we just give everything a blemish? Just put a mum, a technical halachic blemish on every animal that's born, and then doesn't care, then you can put them through the style. They're not valid anyway. So the Gemara says, no, we don't want to do that. Because if we do that, b'mehera yibane hamikdash, we'll all get taken by surprise, the mikdash will be rebuilt, and there'll be no animals to offer, because everything has a mum. So don't do that, says the Gemara. The Gemara even asks a question of whether a Kohen, who here is a Kohen? Anyone a Kohen? No Kohenim? On Zoom there'll be some Kohenim. Is a Kohen allowed to drink wine? Yes or no? Today? How do we know that Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, this is why I say suddenly, because it'll be in the time that it takes to get sober again. Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, and you're going to get a call, you're going to get a text. Please come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're on duty. Now the Gemara says that if you know which Mishmar you're from, remember they divided up from Orid David HaMelech into 20, maybe even earlier, 24 Mishmarot. So you knew which week you were on. So if you know it's not my week, so they're definitely not going to call me. And therefore I can have a party, I can have a drink of wine. Or even if you know it's your Mishmar, but it's not your Beit Av, it's not your day, then okay, maybe you could say, oh, I'm on Thursday, so it's Monday, I'll have a glass of wine. But if you don't know, then you don't know. So how can you drink wine? So look at the Gemara. I found this a fascinating Gemara. Look at number 5. Rebbe Ome, so Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi says, I have a solution for Kohenim. Ome Ani, I want to say, says Rebbe, Asa Lishdois Yain Le'olam. Really, a Kohen today, he's living way after the destruction, a Kohen today can't drink wine. By the way, what about whiskey? What about, you're not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash when you're shikra of any kind. So I'm not sure, but maybe this would apply to everything. Aval ma ese, what can I do? Shetakanasoi kalkalasoi. I've got a solution, which is the solution is the problem. What does that mean? What's the problem? The problem is you don't know which Beit Av or Mishmar you're in, so you could be in any of them. And therefore that's the solution. Since you don't know, they won't call on you until they work it out. Because if they call on you, you'll say, well, haven't you got to work all this out? And oh yeah, you're right, and by that time you'll be sober. So says Rebbe, I think you can rely on that. Amar Abaya, and Abaya says, a long time later in Bavel, Kaman Shasu Ha'idna Ko'ini Chamra, who are Kohenim relying on today when they drink wine? This is Halacha Lamaisa. Rebbe, they're relying on this psak of Rebbe. And that's how the Rambam paskens that, look at the Rambam, Loi Hayu Machir Mishmar, so if you don't know which Mishmar you're in, is a Kohen, the Loi Beis Avose Avosav, you don't know which Beit Av you're in, Hadin, look at his wording, Hadin Noisein She'osa Lishdois Yain La'olam. Really, the halacha is pointing in the direction that you should, as a Kohen today, not be allowed to drink, ever. Certainly wine. Aval, and he brings the din of Rebbe, takanaso kalkalaso, but your problem is actually your solution, and you can do it. And the rival says, therefore, we don't worry about Mehera, Yibane HaMikdash, for that particular halacha. But I brought Rav Zilberstein, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who was famously, or is famously, the son-in-law of Rav Eliashib, brother-in-law of Rav Kanievsky. He has a perush on Shas called Chashukei Chemed, which is an absolute must. I got into this a little bit, I'm not saying I'm into it, but I became more familiar with it by listening to Rabbi Shalom Rosner's Daf Yomi. I follow Rabbi Rosen on Daf Yomi, and he likes the Chashul Kechemet. And Rabbi Zilberstein gets asked shailas like you can never believe who comes up with these shailas. And yet he relates them on every daf of Gemara, has shas at his fingertips. And here he's, I'll tell you in a minute what the shaila was. Don't read ahead and spoil the surprise. Look at number 7. He says, okay, fine, the Rambam paskens like Rebbe, that Kohenev have on whom to rely. But he says, Barabbeinu Chananel, but if you look at the Gemara there in Tanis, Rabbeinu Chanan el Bia, the halacha came along to Rabbanon. That we don't paskin like Rebbe. We paskin like the Rabbanon. The Kohenim are not allowed to drink wine because they might give you a call and you'll have to go immediately. V'chein na'ag Abaya, and that's what Abaya was doing. Shehaya mibnei Eli. We have a tradition that Abaya was a Kohen from the house of Eli. D'loy shasayayin. He personally didn't drink wine ever. Rak Yishev Minhag, he justified the Minhag of the Kohanim, Bizman Azesh Shoitim Yain, of the people who do drink wine, to Hasom Chen al Rebbe. Okay, they rely on Rebbe. So how come you and I, well, I'm not a Kohen, and no one here is a Kohen, but how can Kohanim drink wine? Lefise Yesh Lahavim, we need to understand. And he goes on to say that the answer is because this is a Drabbanon. And it's a gezeira. Well, actually, we'll read it because this will help us later. The teres b'shais and shuvas ma'aram shik. He brings the ma'aram shik, Rav Moshe shik. The amron sarklin hokarabonon. You're right. In theory, we should go like the rabbonon. Hasurim lekoyin, oisim lekoyin, bismanazeli shtoisayin. You're not allowed to drink wine if you're a kohen. Aval kevin shehi gezeira shein atziba yichodim lamod ba. We'll come back to this soon. This is a decree that people cannot cope with. If you say to the kohenim, no one can drink wine, whiskey, whatever. They're not going to listen. They can't. They can't do without a wee dram before they go to bed. Therefore, you can rely on Rebbe. It's a bit of a b'dieva situation, and he relies on the shach, the gezeres rabbanon. You cholim lismoch b'shas adchak al das yochid. But with rabbanons, you can rely in a shas adchak, not emergency, but in a difficult situation, you can rely on the lenient opinion, even though we might not paskin like that. V'zeh siba rabbanon harambam heikol b'zeh, and that's why the Rambam is lenient. Nevertheless, what does he learn from this? Our kolpanim, you see, however, from this debate, shamanu, we've learned at least sheyesh inyan kazesh al mehera yibani hamikdash. We do take this very seriously. Otherwise, why are we even discussing this? We take it mehera yibani hamikdash gam bizman hazeh. What was the shaila Rav Silberstein's got? You'd never believe the shaila. The shaila came to him from a man who had a medical problem with his knees and couldn't walk, and he was waiting for an operation on his knees that would enable him to walk. And he knew of another man who had pain in his knees but could walk, who was waiting for an operation to have his knees fixed. And he asked Rav Zilberstein, I claim, said this man who couldn't walk, that I should have priority over this other guy, halachically. Why? Because Chag is coming, Mehera Yibani HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be built, he can hobble up to the Beis HaMikdash, Aliyah LeRegel, even though he's in pain. I can't go at all. And therefore, I should have priority so that at least I'll be able to walk, and we'll both be able to go, Behei Meheri Bani HaMikdash. And Rav Zilberstein says, you know something? You're absolutely right. If this other guy is happy to be Moichel, then you halachically get priority, because I see you really take it seriously. Tzipita Li Yoshua, the Gemara says, did you really take seriously that the Mashiach's coming? You took it seriously, you want an operation on your knees. Yeshakoach Gadol. But the other guy has to say it's okay, because he's ahead of you on the Mu'uchedet, whatever, list. But it's interesting, you know, who would have thought of asking a Shaila, can I get priority in the operation because I want to be able to walk to get to the basement? Okay, fine. So I brought you a couple of other ones here as well. Walking around the Bima for Hoshanas on Sukkot 7 times. Selling a Rovus. Have you ever noticed on Hoshana Rabbah morning, there's often a little bucket with Hoshanas there, says, you know, 5 shekels. Well, they start at 15 shekels and then they go down as the day goes on. Like, what's the deal there? Look in the Shulchan Aruch, onto page 3. Says the Ramah, V'nagu sheshamash beis ha-knesis mevi arova limkor kamo shehaya ha-minag bizman shebeis ha-mikdash. The Zalacha, the minag is the gabbai of the shul, brings Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah morning. Why? Zeichel ha-mikdash. Because that's what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Sell Hoshanas on Hoshana. Amazing. That's even a little thing, a little detail like that can be relevant in terms of Zeichel HaMikdash. I brought you some other ones here. Lighting Chanukah candles in Shul. reciting certain parts of the Tefillah for the Ketores, giving the half a shekel before Purim, singing Hallel on Seder night in Shul for those that sing it. This is Zeichel HaMikdash when they sang during Shechita from Pesach, wearing a kittel at the Seder. Some people have a minhag, it's brought in the Ramah, to eat both milky and meaty food on Shavuos. First they have a milchik meal, and then they bench, and then they wash, and they have a fleishik meal. Why? So they would have to bring two sets of loaves. Why? Because of the Shnei Lechem. Because on Shavuos they brought the two loaves as an offering, so they kind of engineer Zechel HaMikdash, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that we celebrate on Sukkos, other things as well I brought here, not looking at the Kohanim. Really, you can look at the Kohanim today. They all wear a talis over their hands, and anyway it was only in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the minhag is we don't look at the Kohanim. These days you could even look at the Kohanim, even according to Zechel HaMikdash, because they all put a talis on their hands. You can't see their hands. But if their hands were open, you don't look Zechel HaMikdash. I put here a question mark, Zechel HaHakel. Is there an idea that somebody should read in the Kotel from Dvarim, Zechel, at the end of the Shemitah year? I don't know what the plan is for this year. On Sukkot and the year after the Shemitah, the king would stand up and read in the Sefer Torah in the temple complex. So the question is, should we do the Zechel HaHakel? Who's the king? That's the question. Who's it going to be? On Sukkot? You know, it's going to be the president, it's going to be Buzi Herzog. It'll be Buzi Herzog, it won't be Yair Lapid, that's for sure. That's the president. The prime minister is not the king. The prime minister is here today, gone tomorrow, this we know. But the president, maybe the president, and back in the past we had presidents, at least before they went to jail, that did this Zeicha LeMikdash. And therefore, maybe we should do this, maybe we shouldn't. I brought who proposed it down at the bottom. We'll see what they do. Fine. So there are limits. I want to get into Zechel HaChorban. There are limits to Zechel HaMikdash. I'm not going to go through all of these. There's a Gemara in Sukkah that says, okay, so if you're so into Zechel HaMikdash, why don't you go around 7 days on Sukkot with the Arava? Okay, we take Lulav for 7 days, because that's what they did. But they also went around with an Arava for 7 days. So why not do that, says the Gemara. It says, okay, there's a limit. There's a limit. Lulav that everybody took for 1 day, they can increase to 7 days. But Arava, you can't make it 7 days. 1 day is enough with Arava, because people didn't take Arava at all. If you kept Lulav at 1 day, it wouldn't be any different from however it was. But Arava, you can make 1 day, and therefore maybe we just have 1 day Zechel HaMikdash, but there are limits. We can't just do anything we like. And I brought you a very interesting Tosefta and Gemara about Yom Kippur. Should people stay up all night? I don't know if anybody listening or here has the minhag to stay up all night on Yom Kippur, say Tehillim, and I don't know many people that do that. But we sing Shir HaKavod and all that after the... It doesn't take all night. So if you look here in number 12, Lo Ha Yishen Kol HaLaila, the people didn't used to sleep the whole night. Ella, it should give different girsas, either shekedim or shekoyrim, either they would be urgent with the Kohen Gadol, or they would read to the Kohen Gadol, kenege Kohen Gadol, kedela asko behavara, either they would make a noise as they would click their fingers, and they would focus on him, or they would read to him, batara, he'd stay awake. Kach hayunogim begvulin, and there were, says the Gemara, people who did this even in the diaspora. Achar Churban Beis HaMikdash, after the temple was destroyed, Zechel HaMikdash, they said, oh, people used to stay up all night, we're going to stay up all night, Zechel HaMikdash is beautiful, says the Gemara, Aval Chaitim Havu, they were sinners. This led to a terrible problem. Why? Go over the page. What could the problem be? Yom Kippur night, people stay up all night, sounds lovely, Zechel HaMikdash, says the Gemara. They in Yerushalayim, yes, they were holy people, special people that used to stay up all night. So the Kohen Gadol would stay awake. He was not allowed to sleep. And he wouldn't fall asleep in case he became tamei in his sleep. We don't want that to happen at Yom Kippur. Tanya, and we have a brisa. Abba Shaul Amar. Abba Shaul said, "Af begvulim hayoisin came Zechel HaMikdash." Yes, indeed, there were people in the diaspora that used to do this, Zechel HaMikdash, ela shehayu choitin, but they were doing the wrong thing. Rashi, why? Sachakim anashim anashim yachad, because it turned into a big social. All the men and all the women were together all night Yom Kippur, ubayin la'aveira, and bad stuff happened, because everybody was up all night. It turned to party night. Amar Abaya, the Itema Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and he says, I'll corroborate that. Tugma, I give you the example, this happened in Naharda. Naharda, we've talked about Naharda before, one of the main towns in Bavel, apparently had a very active social scene, which was not appropriate in Yom Kippur. The Amalei Eliyahu, Eliyahu came along, the Rav Yehuda, Achva the Rav Sala Chasida, to Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala Chasida, and said, Amiraso Amai, and he said, why is Loi Asi Mashiach, why is Mashiach not yet come? I'm going to give you an insight. I'll tell you, because today is Yom Kippur, and how many young basulos, how many young women are having their sexual experiences tonight on Yom Kippur, because it's a big social, and everybody's together, and everybody's lost it. Remarkable.
Where was, I think somewhere in America, they had these Yom Kippur balls.
Yom Kippur balls, interesting.
Okay, I know there was the Enlightenment,
There was a whole thing that the conservative movement, one of the causes for them to break away from the reform was the Yom Kippur eat balls and all the banquets and all that kind of stuff. I think this is the source of a number of people who have a problem with Tashlich. Tashlich becomes the big social scene of Rosh Hashanah, and all the young boys and all the young girls go down to the river. Okay, I'm not making any pronouncements on these issues, but Tisha B'Av at the Kotel. It's an interesting idea that a serious day can turn into a social scene, even if it's well-intended. I'm not telling you that there's a problem with all socializing, please don't quote me wrongly, but I'm just saying that it's interesting this Gemara says this minhag that people thought was a good idea was a really bad idea.
The girls in your seminary will not be staying up all night.
I'm not making any promises as to what people... And there are people who do stay up all night tonight, but they do it in shul. And they learn Torah, and they don't allow the social scene to happen again. And I just couldn't resist bringing you this Bali HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Tam says, someone quotes this is a discussion about Gittin in the Tshuva, and someone says that Rabbeinu Tam used to write, it was particular to write different, all the different names that the woman might be called by, which is Harry Paskin, in the get. He would say she's called Hanalea, also called Judith, also called whatever she's called, so that there's no question as to who this woman is. And somebody complained, this is not the minhag. Our minhag is not to do that, and you've got to go with the minhag. So Rabbeinu Tam writes a very charif tshuva. He says, "Gam ketavta she'ein l'shanos haminag mipnei halaz." You shouldn't change. You argue that you shouldn't change minhagim because of laz. What's laz? That you're making out that we're holier now than the people who used to do this. Back in the old days when they did that, now we say it's not good enough. Motzi laz ala rishonim. You're making out that the people didn't know. We're now fruma. He says that's not an answer. Minag ze gehenim lemafreya. Because the word minag is gehenim backwards. Okay? She'im shaitim nagu, chachamim loy nagu. There are some minhagim that foolish people keep, but clever people don't keep. Okay, so don't just say, oh, that's the minag. The minhag is not always the answer if the halacha is against it. Anyways, I just brought you that Zeichel HaMikdash is very big, but it's limited in some ways. Okay, that's all I want to say on Zeichel HaMikdash. But you see now how many, more than 20 things that I highlighted here that we do without even thinking about it, Zeichel HaMikdash, even to the point that can the Kohanim have a glass of wine and who should get their knee operations first. Okay, fine. Now, we move into the world of Churban. Quite different. What the Chazal said, Zeche li Yerushalayim. The phrase Zeche le Churban is a modern, from the Rishonim phrase. The Gemara didn't use it. They said Zeche li Yerushalayim. And look in number 15, Tosefta. Sad Adam kol Besu Besid. You can plaster your house, but you have to leave a little bit unplastered. Zeche li Yerushalayim. Oisa Adam kol iske sudi. You can make us nice meals and you can have people around for dinner. Umeshai davamud, but you have to leave a little bit off. We'll see what that means and how that works. Zeichel Yerushalayim. Leave something missing from the meal. Oisa isha kol tachshita. A woman can wear as much jewelry as she likes. But meshayere davamud, she should always leave something out. Zeichel Yerushalayim. That I would have put this on, but I'm not, because I'm remembering Yerushalayim. Now, we don't do this today, or do we do this today? The Amar al-Amar we'll talk about on the wall, but some people do. But people don't leave stuff off the meal and say, there's a place that's set, but nobody's coming because of Zeichel HaChurban. Or people, women don't say, I'm dafka not wearing this jewelry. Maybe some women do, but it's certainly not common. We'll talk about why that might be. So I highlighted here, there are four basic areas that fall into the category of Zeichel HaChurban. There are the four fasts of the year, which of course we keep, Zecheli Churban, Som Gedalia, Sarabatevish, Shivasa Batamos, Tisha B'Av, and of course all the halachas of Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks and the 9 days and the week of, etc. Then there's a music question. Are you allowed to listen to music at all, any time of the year? We'll see that next time. Then there are all the mitzvahs of all the halachas of Teren Kriya, which we had a whole shiur on not so long ago. Teren Kriya on the cities of Yerushalayim. Why don't we say Kriya today when we see Hebron? Should we? Because it's not a Jewish city. There's a little bit of Jewish presence. And what about on the Kotel? There's all the halachas of Kriya. And then there are certain restrictions generally on Simcha, which we'll deal with today, which are perhaps the least discussed, which I want to focus on today. Okay, so let's have a look at this Gemara. The Gemara is familiar, I'm sure, to many. It's a very interesting Gemara, very shaykh, very appropriate for the time of year. So Gemara, at the end of Cheskes Habatim, in Bava Basra, it's the end of that Perek, Daf Samach Amud Beis. Look at number 16. So it's a long Gemara. I've split it up into numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that we can all stay with the reading. Back at number 1, Tana Rabbanan. So the rabbis taught a few different teachings here. Lo yisod adam es beiso besid. Here it seems to say you shouldn't plaster your house at all. Make nice houses like that. The im irev bechol otaven, but if you mix stuff into your plaster, sand or straw, that takes its color off a little bit. It doesn't look as pristine. It doesn't look as beautiful white. You know, when you go around Rome and whatever, and you see all these ancient buildings, they're all bricks now, but they all used to have plaster on them. You think to yourself, everything looks like a warehouse. How could they say it was so beautiful? The answer is because all the plaster's fallen off. It was all beautiful white plaster. That you shouldn't do. But if you mix it with chol, with sand, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ira b'chol, even if you mix it with sand, harizeh tarachsit, that's a special kind of plaster which is very strong, it lasts, no, os, that's not good. Teven, but straw, mutter. Okay, we don't relate to this at all. We'll see why soon. You know, we plaster our walls with no problem, but we'll see why that applies. Number 2, Tan Rabbanan. Kishichar of Bais Hashniyah, Bais Bishniyah, sorry, when the second temple was destroyed. Why not the first temple? So the Meforshim bring down that at the first temple they had a promise from Yirmiyahu that it was going to be rebuilt with 70 years. So they weren't as despondent. But when the second temple was destroyed, they had no such promise. Rabu Purushim b'Yisrael. Then there was a big increase in Purushim. People who were ascetics, let's call it. People who wanted to pull back from any pleasures in life. And by the way, we see with the Dead Sea Scrolls sect, etc., they led a very ascetic lifestyle. They didn't drink and they didn't have any women there, etc. There were people that wanted to do this. Shaloi le'echol basar. We're not Jews, are going to be vegetarian from now on. V'shaloi lishtos yayin, and they're all going to be teetotalers. We're not going to eat meat, we're not going to drink wine. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, who was in the generation after the Churban, Nitpal Pahem Rabbi Yeshua, from the word letapel, meaning he went to look after them, meaning he needs to help them. He's not criticizing them because they're depressed and he wants to try and help them to work it through. Amalehen, maybe that's my 21st century rereading of this word, but you see what he says. Amalehen, he says to them, Banai. See, he's being very nice to them. My children, my sons. Why don't you drink meat and drink wine and eat meat? What's your problem? Amar, they said to him, we're going to eat meat when they used to bring korbanos. The achshav batel, and now they don't. Nishte yain, we're going to drink wine. Shemenaschim al gabi amizbech, and they used to bring nisuch hamayim, hayayin on the mizbech, they used to bring the wine. How can we drink wine? The achshav batel, and now we can't drink wine. Amalehem, he said to them, okay, im kain, but if that's your argument, lechem lo nechal, you shouldn't eat bread either. Why not? Shikval batlu menachos, because all the korbanos that were flour-based all bottle. Okay, did you get a sheet? Did you want a sheet from the front? Okay, it's okay. So don't eat bread. So they said, Eshiva Peiros, you know something? We'll manage without bread. You're right. We won't eat bread either. We won't eat bread. We'll eat fruit, says Rabbi Yusha Yerushua. He's telling them, the peiros lo nachal, no, you shouldn't eat fruit either. Shekvar batlu bikurim, because all the bikurim have been cancelled. So stop eating fruit as well. Obviously, he's not suggesting they stop eating fruit. He's telling them that your argument is fallacious. So he said, you know, they said, you know, Efshe b'peiros acherim, so we'll eat other fruit. We'll eat fruit that wasn't from the bikurim. We'll eat apples and oranges. We just won't eat grapes and dates and figs. We won't eat any of those. So then he says, look, guys, Maim loy nishta. We can't even drink water, according to you, shekvar batel nisuch hamayim, because the nisuch hamayim, the water offering on Sukkot has already finished. Shatku. So then they had no answer. They said, you know something, you're right, I don't know. So what should we do? So little number three, Amalim. So he said to them, Banai. Again, he says to them, my sons, listen, I understand where you're coming from. Bo v'amru lechem. I want you to come here, and I want to tell you. Shalayli tabel kol ikaiyavsha. Not to mourn at all is not an option. Shikvar nigzera gezera. Because the gezera has already been given. Now what's that? Different meforshim say. Some say that the churban has already happened. You can't pretend it didn't, the Gezerah min HaShamayim. And others say, no, it's the Gezerah of Chazal that we have to be mourning Zech L'Churban. So you can't ignore it. Lehit'abel yoytze medai, but to mourn too much, i'esha. We can't do that either. She'ein goes in his line again, ein goes in Gezerah ala tzibah, ela im kein roiv tzibah yicholim lamabah. Because you can never make a decree on a community if the community is not able to keep it. So to not eat meat, to not drink wine, people are not going to be able to do that. For 9 days, Bekoshi, they can do that. You know, you can go down to the five towns, and you can go on the restaurants there. Every night is a bocha making a siyum. They bring a bocha in so that everybody can eat meats and drink wine because everyone's at a siyum.
Every hour.
Every hour. Oh, my goodness. All right. You know something? I don't want to be critical, but that doesn't seem to be in the spirit of things. But
It's
Marabitara, okay? You know something, every cloud has a silver lining. But you see, for 9 days, Bekoshi, you can't, I once went to one of these, I was in New York, I don't want to be too harsh on New York, of course, but I was at one of these, at Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, and they said, our menagers, we have a massive barbecue, we eat all the meat we possibly can, Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, because we can't eat meat for now, okay, you know, okay, whatever. So you see, people couldn't do it. So you can't make a gezerah, people can't do dichsiv. And he brings a pasuk from Malachi, which talks about all of the people. Hagoy kula, all of the people have to agree for this kind of thing. And if all of the people can't do it, then it doesn't apply. So what should we do? Number four, little number four. Ela kacham ruchachamim, this is what the rabbi said. Sad adam is basically said, you can plaster your house with mashai bo davar mu'at, and leave a little bit. Kama, how much is a little bit? Amar Rav Yosef, ama al ama. An ama is just between 18 inches and 2 feet. A square. Leave a little square. And, you know, in Israel, it's quite common that people do this, leaving an amma by an amma unplastered. In Chutz La'aretz, less so. People sometimes put up, like, a picture of the kotel or something like that. It's the same idea, but one should do something. Amar Rav Chizda said, can I get a petach? It should be opposite the front door, so you can see it over the door. And there's a debate in the Meforshim. Look, does it depend where you sit? Meaning, as long as you can see it, either over the door, or over here, or over there, so it should be placed in a prominent place. Okay, Oysa Adam called Tzarchi Sudi, you can make whatever you like for a meal. U'mishai davimut, you have to leave a little bit out. Mahi, what do you leave? What do you not bring? Amar Rav Papa, kasa dahasana, a little bit of fish hash. A little bit of fried fish.
Is this
fine, all this? So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that the reason nobody does this today is because we don't have a set order to a meal. We don't have a set order to a meal. It used to be that people were much more structured in the way they ate meals. I remember I was just now in Italy with my in-laws, I mentioned last week. The Italians have a very strict order to the meal. You know, you have this, and then you have this, and you have this. We don't do that. We have a bit of this, we have a bit of that. So you wouldn't notice something was missing, but then they did, okay? Oysa isha kol takshita, you, a woman, should wear whatever she likes. Umashiyara davamu would leave off a bit of jewelry. Maihi, what's that? I'm a Rav. So Rav said, bats da'a, sida'a, the sight of her hair. The what does that mean? Some people say that some women used to put like a little special, they used to gel the sides of their hair to look nice at the sides, and they just didn't do that instead because of Churban, Zeichel Churban. Other people say they used to shave that off and because it looked untidy, and they let it grow because of Zeichel Churban. Whatever it was that they did Zeichel Churban, again, women, we don't have that structured approach to jewelry anymore. Don't tend to do that kind of thing. Amar Rav Papa, sorry, I'm going back a line. Shnei Amar, and he brings the pasuk. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tibak l'shani l'chiki, im lo eskerei, im lo eskerechi, im lo ele Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. Fine. By the way, I saw a perush, I can't remember where it was, that these three things, you do something to your house, you do something to your meal, and you do something to your jewelry, each correspond to an aspect of Zeichel HaChurban. The house is because of the Beis HaMikdash, we lost the house. The meal is because of the Mizbeach, we lost the altar, and the jewelry is because of the Kohanim, we lost the big day Kohuna, so maybe they correspond in that way. So the Gemara now says, "My al rosh simchati." What does it mean on my head? The head of my joy. I will rise a Yerushalayim over the head of my joy. Amar of Yitzchak, ze eifer makle. This is ashes. Ashes from a furnace, as opposed to ashes from the Parah Adumah, which we're not talking about here. What did we put ashes on? Sheberosh chatanim. You should put ash on the head of the chosan. And in Israel, people do this. I did this, I ran a wedding not so long ago, put a bit of ash on the head of the chosan. Everyone's saying, what's going on? Why are you putting ashes on there? This is in the Gemara. Okay? Amar Rav Papa la Abaya, we'll see soon an alternative menag. Amar Rav Papa says to Abaya, Heichem Manachlo, where should you put the ash? But Machon Tefillin. In the place at the top of the head where you wear the tefillin.
Even some Rabbanim will use some of the...
From the Beis HaMikdash. I've got a little stash at home of ash from Har Habayim. Ash goes a long way. So you can, a little bit of ash goes for many chasonim. And you put it where the tefillin go. Shnei Mare, Posik in Yishayahu, Lasum la'evle Sion, Tachat lahem per, Latet lahem per, sorry, Tachat Efer. That you're going to exchange, when Mashiach comes, you're going to exchange the ash for the tefillin. Per is a reference to tefillin. So if that's going to be the exchange. So now where is, what goes there is ash. And then the Gemara finally says a famous line, V'kolam is abel al Yerushalayim. It's not quite finally. Anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim, Zoyche v'roi b'simchasa. Now the Pasha Pshat is will merit to see its rebuilding. The Chasim Sofer here famously says it's in the present tense. Anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim can now see its rebuilding. It doesn't say Yizkeh sheyibane. It says Zoyche v'roye. Meaning maybe, says the Chasim Sofer, it's about your mindset. If you can really internalize the loss, then you are the kind of person that can see the hope. A bit like Rabbi Akiva, you know, who's laughing when everybody else is crying, and they says, why are you crying? Why are you laughing? Because I've internalized the loss, I can see the hope for the future. I never thought this would happen. Now I've seen it, I see that this will happen. Maybe that changes one's attitude, and it brings a posik, famous posik Yeshaya, Simchu et Yerushalayim v'giluba, kolay havecha, sisu ita bisoyz, masoyz kolam ita ablem aleh. Fine. However, it's important to realize that the Gemara doesn't finish with that note. Everyone finishes on a flourish, kala mitabel al Yerushalayim. The last four lines of the Gemara are a little bit more pessimistic. Before the end of the Perek, Tanya Abba Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, really, says Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, from when the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, din hu shenigza al atzmenu sheloy le'echol basav shelo lishtashya. We really shouldn't be eating meat. And we shouldn't be drinking wine. A little bit different from Rabbi Yeshua said. Rabbi Yeshua said, look, people can't cope with that. And he says, well, okay, you're right, we don't do it, but we should really do it. Ela ein gozin gzera, similar, he said, actually, this is very similar to Rabbi Yeshua, ein gozin gzera ala tzibor, ela im kein roi v'tzibor yucholim lamud. Umiyom shepashta malchus rasha, and in the days of a persecution by the Romans, she gozerit aleinu gzerud raus, makes such terrible decrees, v'kasha, such harsh decrees, umavatlois mimenu Torah or mitzvahs, and we can't keep Torah and keep mitzvahs, learn Torah. They don't let us do a bris milah. Shvuot haben. The Amrila, other people say, Yeshua haben, Pepidyan haben. We can't do any of these mitzvahs. Din hushin ningzor latzmeni, we should really decree on ourselves. Sheloi lisa ishu, we shouldn't even get married. Lahoi leid bani, we shouldn't even have children. The nimsa zaro shel Avram avinu kala me'alav. And let the Jewish people die out. What's the point? What's the point of bringing children to the world when they can't keep mitzvahs, etc.? Ela hanach le'en Yisrael, but we don't do that. Leave the Jewish people be. Mutziv shiyur shoygigim ve'aliyum mezidim. Better they should do it, like, not consciously than do it consciously. That's a bit of a negative. Meaning, really, we shouldn't have children. Tosfos says, of course, you have to do pru revu, but you shouldn't have more children. What's the point of bringing children to the world? A little bit like the Midrash with Amram and Yocheved. What's the point of having more children? And the Gemara finishes a little bit on this negative note and says that we don't see a future. But that was in the height of the persecution, in the height of the Roman persecution. And therefore, all of this seen together tries to strike a balance. And here's the key. We're trying to strike a balance. To not have a velus at all is not possible, because that's just distracting us from the reality. But to have too much avelus is going to make us depressed. We cannot become depressed. And that's what we're going to talk about next week with the music. How does that work in the modern reality? But I brought you here, and I just want to focus on for the last part of the shiur, the Shulchan Aruch. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say l'maisa? Have a look on page 5, please. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and see what he says. I'm going to read this quite quickly, because you'll see there's some new aspects there, but he brings down this Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch is tucked away at the end of Hilchas Tisha B'Av in Siman Taf Kuf Samach, 560, and he says here, La'asot Zechel Churban. There are five Se'ifim, there are five different subparagraphs as to what we should do Zechel Churban. So look at what he says. Number 17. You shouldn't build palatial homes anymore. Kabinyan hamalachim. Like kings living. Shouldn't have palatial homes. You can plaster your home with sad basid. You can cover. You can have nice decorations. But you should leave a little bit without plaster. There's a debate in Meforshim. Does this mean you can have a palatial home? You just leave a little bit without plaster? Or does this mean no? You shouldn't have a palatial home, full stop, period. And if you have a regular home, you have to at least live it. Okay, it depends on the view you take on materialism, what is material and what isn't materialism, what is palatial, what is not palatial, etc. But if you buy somebody else's home and it's already plastered, then you can leave it. You don't have to start peeling plaster off the walls. Okay, you don't have to peel the plaster off the walls, but if you're building, if you're redecorating, then you should leave an amah by an amah. Again, is that the minhag? In Israel, I think, in Yerushalayim, yes. In Chutz La'aretz, they maybe do other things. But again, there's no reason why one shouldn't do it. It's a kiyum of this halach in Shulchan Aruch. Now, bet. V'chein itzkinu she'orich shulchan la'asud suda la'orichim. If you're having guests, he says, yeah, not if you're having dinner with your family. If you're putting on a big meal, leave a little bit out. Leave a place at the table without a setting. And again, the Aruch HaShulchan says we don't do this because we don't have the structure in the meal today, so we've kind of fallen out of practice, but it doesn't mean anything anymore. When women put on their jewelry, she should leave off some of her jewelry, she shouldn't be fully dressed up. And again, they say that because the women don't have that set system anymore, it doesn't look like it used to look. And here's a new thing. Okay, a chosan, no se isha, when, oh, not this, not this, not the new, the next thing is new. When a chosan marries a wife, lokeach eifa makle, he should put a little bit of ash on his head, and no se barosha b'mokam hanachas tefillin. And here's the new thing. And comes in, the Raman says, v'yesh makamas, and there are places that don't do the ash, or maybe as well as the ash, shenagu l'shaber kos b'shatchum, that they break a glass. And that's probably become the one defining feature that most non-observant and certainly non-Jewish people know about Jewish weddings. That they break glasses. So I didn't bring you the whole Torah on this, but what's the source for this idea of break? So I found, actually, after I made the sheet, I found a very interesting essay by Rabbi Avi Zivitovsky. Rabbi Zivitovsky is a superb researcher, and he has a very interesting article on why we break a glass. So it's quite well known that it comes originally from a Gemara in Brochas that says that when they were having a big simcha or wedding, some of the Amoraim, Rav Ashi, Mar Bar Avina, will take a beautiful glass object and smash it on the floor to lower the mood a little bit. It sounds from the Gemara that it's nothing to do with Zechel Churban. It's to stop people going over the top in terms of a simcha at a wedding and getting out of hand. Later on, this minhag kind of morphed into, by the time of the Ramah, certainly in the Middle Ages, morphed into a Zechel Churban. But maybe originally it wasn't about a Churban at all, it was just to, you know, calm people down. And by the way, they took an expensive piece of glass, not like when I got married, they put a light bulb, an old blown out light bulb, and they wrapped it up in aluminum foil and said, just break this. Okay, you know, I think I'm still married, but still, I don't think that's the ideal. And there are all sorts of different minhagim that grew up from this. By the way, Rav Zivitovsky, in his article, mentions all sorts of minhagim that we don't have today. Some people used to break, not a glass, but something made of pottery. Used to break that. Some people used to have a glass, but the chosn used to throw it on the floor, rather than stamp on it. And by the way, there was a court case in Israel a couple of years ago. Some chosn got glass stuck in his foot, and he sued the wedding hall and got 30,000 shekels. Because the wedding hall said that the glass that they used in the cup was too thick, and therefore it didn't shatter, it just broke into shards and went up his foot. And the wedding hall claimed that they didn't know what he was going to use the glass for. Okay, maybe not. Maybe someone just asked for a glass and put it on the floor, whatever. So there were certain rabbonim at the time that said, well, maybe we should stop this. People are getting injured. Just do the ash, you know, the glass. Okay, everyone does the glass. The certain minhagim is that they... people do both. One of the minhagim that Rav Zivotofsky brings down is that people used to use the glass that they made the brachas on. That's the glass they used to. And there's all sorts of resonances. The glass is the one thing, even if it's broken, it can be remade. So that even if the chasen and kala fall out with each other, they can always make up. And there's all sorts of symbols of that. Rav Avadya Yosef even brings down as a gematria. I'm not a big gematria fan. He's just like, after he's given a whole, five pages of halachic analysis, he brings also a gematria that says that chatan v'kala is the gematria of kli zchuchit. I didn't check, but I'm sure it's true. Yes.
By the way, the Israel Museum, so I was there 2 days ago.
Yes.
There is a piece of wall that was taken from a shul where they used to throw it at this place.
Yes, that's it. They used to throw it. Some people used to throw it at the wall.
At
a wall. They used to have a minute, they used to throw it at a wall. So there's some men hugging.
Probably in Greece.
Yeah, maybe. They used to throw it full of wine, not just empty. They used to throw a glass full of wine at the. Maybe these are things you could think of revisiting if you want to make a wedding. But there were all sorts of minhagim that people used to do. Or he says, let's some mapashchayra. This I've never seen. To put a black cloth or shahadivri avelis or something else that makes you think of avelis, but roish hachosin.
That's the black hat.
Okay. but these are the origins of the minhagim to sing like a dirge. And to have a very sad.
I've recently been at a relative's wedding with other people who were from the States who were there, and they couldn't get over how the tone at the bedeckel was a dirge.
Right.
Okay?
As opposed to look, it's all a question of balance. Where do you draw the balance? There's plenty of simcha at all the weddings, but they just put it in different ways. But this is where it's all coming from. This is all to remember Yerushalayim. He brings the pasuk Imesh Kechek Yerushalayim. Gimel is dealing with music. Not today. Next week. Dalet. Okay. V'chein gazru al ataris chasanim. We don't have crowns anymore. They used to have crowns for the chasan. Shelo lahaniach klal. We don't put them on at all. V'shelo yaniach hachasan b'roshe shum klil. We don't put anything on the chasan's head. And he brings a posik for that from Yechezkel. V'chein gazru al ataris akala. We don't have crowns on the kala either. V'imish al kesef. That's if it's silver. Aval she gedil, but she wants to wear leaves like a wreath of. You call it a wreath, not a wreath. Like a garland of flowers on her head. Okay, mutter lekala, wreath is at a funeral. Okay, the kala can wear something on her head. For davka lechasan and kala aval shar kol anashim v'nashim lo gazra. Other people can wear crowns, it's only the chasan and kala. Rav Soloveitchik brought down that this, he thought, was one of the origins of the minag of the chasan and kala not to wear jewelry at the chuppah. I mean, it has a halachic reason as well, that we don't want to have a mekach tos. The kala's coming in with diamonds on and they're all fake, and he thinks, well, I only married you because I thought you were bringing in $100,000 to the marriage, and it turns out that, okay, that we don't want. But also he said for this reason too, we don't know what these crowns are exactly, and therefore we don't want to mess around, and we don't have any jewelry at all. But then the last one, which I want to finish with just for a few minutes, is hey, asr la adam shiyimale schaik ba'olam hazeh. A person is not allowed to be full of laughter in this world. So there's a lot of analysis of that. What does that mean? You're meant to be miserable? Not meant to be miserable. Is this anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Yes or no? Some people say this is nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say Shima l'schaik acha churban. It says be'olam hazeh. It sounds like in this life we're not meant to be in a state of heightened simcha. So just go over the page for a second and have a look at the last couple of sources. So this is coming, of course, from Shir HaMaalos. And when we go back to the Geula, we look back and we think we were dreamers. As Yamal Israq Pinu, then this is where the connection with the Geula comes in, then we will be laughing. Then we can fill our mouths with laughter. So this depends to a certain degree if you think that when Mashiach comes it's still Olam Hazeh, or that's already Olam Haba. those two issues may be intermixed, and we had all those Shirim on Mashiach, if you remember, different versions. According to the Rambam, Mashiach is Olam Hazeh. According to the Rambam, Mashiach is Olam Haba. So that may be where that interface comes in. But the Aruch HaShulchan already says very clearly. He says, Also la'adim shemalit piv schoik ba'olam hazeh, ki schoik v'kalas roish margilim la'erva. It's nothing to do with Korban per se. People are going to go get carried away. That's even when the temple is around. That's nothing to do with the Korban directly. But that's only if you're, it's extended merriment. Okay? But just to laugh? You don't have to be a miserable Litvak. Okay, you can laugh, even though the Aruch HaShulchan was a Litvak, I assume he was a happy Litvak. He says, you're allowed to laugh, you're allowed to be happy, you're allowed to make a joke. And that's not a problem, and I brought you in 24, the Kaf HaChaim brings various Gemaras, Gemara in Brachas that says, if you daven properly in the morning, then you'll be smiling and laughing all day, that's fine. One Amora found the other one laughing. He says, why, how can you be so happy? Because I'm wearing tefillin, makes me happy. So you're allowed to be happy. I brought you in 23 a question of Shaila, are you allowed to go to the circus?
Which
circus? Okay, that's already, later before a show. Okay, so are you allowed to go to the circus? So on the one hand, it's a place of celebration and merriment. And for circus, read whatever is the inappropriate, highly, charged social atmosphere. And there's maybe the circus, you can make brochas on the animals. But really, it's a question of striking this balance, of realizing there's an idea of simcha shel mitzvah. You're allowed to be mesameach, you have to be sameach in a mitzvah, but simcha shel hoilelus, simcha of nonsense, is not something that a Jew should be into, and it's a question of getting that balance right, but that's the whole year. All of these things that I brought you in the Shulchan Aruch is not during the 9 days. It's during the whole year, and therefore it's worth thinking about that. Next week, please God, we're going to look at music. I will actually bring you 18 and 19 again next week, because I think we have to look at that. We haven't got enough time today. But for now, we've looked at Zeichel HaMikdash, we've looked at Zeichel HaChorban, but next week's Shir is more tricky, because it's all about the music, but we couldn't do that without first laying the foundation. So let's leave it there, and we'll see you next week, please God, and we'll talk more about the music. I'm not bringing my violin with me next week, so we'll have to manage without that.